Hi, I'm Ray Poynter, and I'm one of the founders of ResearchWise AI. And this is Talking AI. And today I am delighted to invite Ramona Daniel to join me to have a chat about artificial intelligence. Hi,
Hey,
Ramona.
Ray, thank you very much for inviting me.
It's a
I'm very
pleasure.
excited to be here.
It's a pleasure. So let's start off. Just tell us a little bit and our listeners about yourself.
Well, I've been in research for 25 years now. I started out at kind of the usual suspects. I started out as a telephone interviewer at Ipsos, where it helped that I had the additional skill of speaking another language because I'm German. So that was just an easy route to find a job when I moved to London. And then, like so many people, you just stick with research. It is not something you choose. It is just something that happened to you, and you just stick with it. Can be aptitude or just, you found a place. And I spent about 11 years at Ipsos before I moved to Kantar. I spent a couple of years there. And then I moved sideways when I had an opportunity to start a secondment with GroupM, as it was then still known, GroupM. And they needed someone to set up a big study, what initially was 28 markets, annual study that collected media and touchpoint data that then fueled their media planning tools. And they needed a quant researcher for that. And I ended up staying 10 years doing that job. In my time, it grew much bigger. It turned to be at 79 markets in the end, and it was a quarterly study as well. So a big beast of a survey that is not done centralized like this anymore. So it was a massive learning curve as well. And then last year I decided to become independent, and then also pivot more to the cultural insight side because I've been working with so many different markets and cultures before. It is something that I really wanted to go deep in. So that's what I'm focusing now as an independent.
Brilliant. And why and how did you start getting interested in AI?
I've just been dabbling with it when I was still on the corporate side, but then as an independent, it was largely out of necessity as well. I've always been part of bigger teams, always been part of organizations. I was an expert. I didn't know everything. I still don't know everything, but I always knew who to ask. There was always someone where I could go, hey, data scientist, can you help me look into this? Or an engineer or an expert in an accountant. An HR person, there was always someone there. I had a question and I could get advice or help or guidance. And all of a sudden, you're by yourself. And I still needed to spend some time on rebuilding my community, finding communities, because that I was seeking as well on the human side. But all these interactions are time limited, and you may not have found the right person yet to build out your network. So I gravitated to things like ChatGPT and Claude and Gemini. And I'm somebody who's more of a self-learner. So rather than going on different courses, I was just like trying them out, see what happens. What if I type it in, what do I get out? How do they all differ? I've been reading a lot of stuff as well because I read so much just to pick up different signals as well on what is happening, not just on the cultural side, but also tech developments that have an impact on how we move as a culture. And just to fill the what I've saw as missing roles in my team, who can help me answer accountant queries. I have an accountant, but I just also want to be prepared. And particularly when seeking out sometimes the unknown unknowns, what questions should I ask? What gaps should I have? And going very much on a journey of, oh, I can type something in and I'm getting an answer, and then realizing That answer is not really good. I'm getting an answer. It can be quite verbose. It can sound very confident, but sometimes it is just very average. And sometimes it can be utterly frustrating to get to the point where you want to get to. And then also realizing that there are other uses for me that are really more interesting. Of what I was also missing in my team was just someone to disagree with me. Not for the sake of disagreeing, but just going, hey, Ramona, that isn't a good idea. Or have you thought about this? What about this other perspective? Have you thought about that? Particularly when you're by yourself, when you're working independently, you can get very stuck in your own head. And I've been seeking out talking to other people. I have a mentor, I'm part of the Insights Consultant Group, which is a fantastic community and therefore wonderful buddy system as well, so that you can connect with peers on this as well. But in between, I just needed to help me focus my thinking. And I found generative AI quite useful for that. But it's a journey. It's figuring things out, not just how to do it, but also what works for you.
So we're going to have a chat about what you've tried and what has worked. But before you got into using these LLMs, would you have described yourself as techie?
A little bit. I've never been a coder or anything. I've toyed around like writing some VBAs for Excel, which always took me quite a long time to do it. So I've never been non-technical, but I've probably like been kind of average, very middle of the road. Like
That's
not tech averse, but not,
No,
right at the forefront of it.
that's great, because that's going to help us understand a little bit as we now go into what sort of things have you tried, what worked for you, what didn't work for you.
So, I mean, I started out with the ChatGPT, and then you read about others, So I've been hopping around, tried Claude when it came out. I found Le Chat for Mistral on having kind of a European based. I also had to look into DeepSeek when it came out and Copilot. You try them all and you start to get an affinity for some of them of, hey, this works better for me. I'm getting better outputs. And then you also find, oh, for some things, I'm getting better responses in one than the other. So when I'm working with data, and I'm used Jamovi for data analysis and I'm getting an output and I put just that output with just data labels on it. So there's no context around it. It's just a PCA analysis and it's just a batch of numbers, and then I put it into ChatGPT and I'm going, what does it mean? Where's the pattern here? And I'm getting a good response out of that. I might get a different response out of Claude, and that was fantastic to go into. Via podcast, I stumbled over Perplexity as a search engine, and that was quite different because I'd never really used ChatGPT for search, but Perplexity is a completely different beast. And I think I use it mostly nowadays for search just because I love using natural language in describing. I don't have to hit the right keywords. I can, in a quite wordy way, as I sometimes just describe, like, this is my problem. Can you find me sources for that? Or what should I do about it? And I'm getting an answer out of it and sources attached to it. And I can also see how that is changing my behavior in how I'm using search compared to just Googling things before. Another thing that I've absolutely love and always recommend to people is Notebook LM. Because I'm an audiophile, I love listening to podcasts, and all of a sudden I had this ability to curate my reading into podcasts. And I now I save, I PDF anything, articles, research paper, something that is too long and sometimes too dense for me to understand through reading alone. I put it into Notebook LM saying, create a podcast there for me. I get the gist of it. I understand the limitations. I get the key points. I brief it as well and saying, hey, I understand it as a cultural strategist. Why does that matter? So I'm getting answers. But that then helps me narrow down to, hey, this was actually a really interesting paper. I want to understand more. I want to understand the context. I want to understand methodology and go deeper into it. So it focuses my reading, but just love the have the ability to take maybe my research that I'm getting out of Perplexity, putting into Notebook LM, and then starting to form ideas from it and, you know, refining it and finding my jumping off points.
Brilliant. So have you ever tried putting your own outputs into Notebook LM and asked it to generate the podcast and then listen to see whether or not it's picking it up your stuff, Craig? I do that to see whether or not I'm missing the point when I'm writing. And I find that quite helpful.
I haven't done it that way. Somebody recommended to me saying, put your own CV into Notebook LM and
Oh,
see
yeah.
what comes out. And that is wild. And it was fascinating because it had very little information there. It's like 2 pages of text. And it doesn't necessarily know, it's like, oh, what was the culture like at the companies you're in? Or what were you really doing? Because you're phrasing it in a way of it's very salesy on what you put on a CV. But the patterns it picked up was fascinating and really eye-opening because I'm like, oh my God, I've never thought about it that way. And that was fascinating what it could do with 2 pages of information. I do have written myself a prompt that I'm using on different platforms to just say, hey, I've written something, evaluate this. So don't just tell me I've done great, which it will do anyhow.
Yes.
But it's like, where are the holes? Poke holes in it. Where is my thinking not right? Where am I missing something? I'm not doing it in Notebook LM, I'm doing it elsewhere, but I will try to Notebook LM and see what comes out from that.
Great. So there are some things that have clearly worked. What are things have you tried that haven't worked or haven't worked yet?
So I would say just asking it to produce something for you. It will come up with something. But I don't think it's very middle of the road because that's how LLMs work. It's predicting what is the most common thing that somebody would say in this point. And I think it is very tempting to do that. I think there's also nowadays a lot of judgment attached to that as well, of you're cheating. But it's I don't know, it's it you're missing the learning of it. You can shortcut it, but I always found myself, oh, I'm missing something here. I'm actually not learning, I'm not retaining things when I'm just doing this. So yes, the shortcuts are very tempting, but I think you have to make a decision for yourself of how you're using it and the output you're getting. And querying the output and kind of really applying critical thinking of like it's not replacing anything. But you have to go through that learning curve of just doing something and I go, oh yeah, I can put that in an email, and then going, is that really me? Is that my language? That kind of the pushing back. I was playing around because I hadn't explored that yet, the voice function in ChatGPT. And it was just not working for me because there also seemed to be a time limit on it, so I felt pressured immediately when it said like 5 minutes remaining. But it was just very generic, cookie cutter advice. And you may, again, that may fit some people who might just need somebody to boost them and
Yes.
say nice things about them on the day. Fantastic for that. It was like, let's get to the, can we work through this problem? Can we get to the bottom of it? And it's just like, no, you're doing great. And it's like, how do you know? You don't know me. I have not given even you enough information to tell me that you will be fine. So maybe I haven't used it in the right way yet to make it work for me. I haven't found the right application for it, but that just wasn't something yet
Well, that
where I could
takes
make
segues nicely. So, in terms of where next, so where do you see your experiments, your usage going over the next 6 months or so?
I mean, things are changing so fast. Still, the changes might not be as big as when ChatGPT came out initially, but there are new modules released so frequently nowadays. So by just saying, hey, they all hallucinate or they just give average responses might not be true for much longer. And I keep going back between, oh, for a while I was like, oh, I'm using Claude for everything. And now at the moment I'm going more towards Gemini. I'm getting more better responses out of that. So I'm moving between them because they're changing all the time. And new functionality is added. Claude just added a new voice function as well, which I haven't tried yet. But I'm also the, and I know from your previous podcast you've talked about kind of the deep research part of it, which I've only tried once, but then didn't have enough time to really go into it. So that is something I haven't explored yet. I haven't explored the Canvas part yet, where I've like tried on it and I thought, oh, let me go into that rabbit hole and just see what is happening when I press that button. And again, haven't quite found the right application for me. I can see how it might be work for others when you're designing a questionnaire. But it wasn't quite working for me yet. But you know, this is part of the experimentation as well of just keep trying and trying and trying and not locking in into one solution immediately.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, your speciality is culture. What are the opportunities and what are the threats, do you think, around using these techniques around culture?
Well, AI is great at pattern recognition. So, I would never use it necessarily to source information because, firstly, not everything is online, not everything is digital, lived experiences. But if you're using it for the pattern recognition part, there will be things that only you as a human can notice, but there are also things that an AI will pick up, patterns that might not be visible to you, just like with my own CV. I've written that CV. There were patterns in there that I hadn't seen. And the same thing with any data set that can be cultural or otherwise, there will be just be things, but it's like it's an additional tool. Kind of also the opportunity of when I'm researching something, of not being limited to English language resources, but I can take anything and put it into Notebook LM and make it part of my research process. And I'm sure that the same applies to kind of the deep research part as well. You just pick any language, you know, and then nowadays, most of them are multimodal as well. So you're not just limited to text, you have can have images as well. So there are loads of opportunities here where you're no longer just restricted to what I can read, what I can see. And that is exciting as well. On the threat sides, you just think, well, as you ask with any LLM, how were they trained? What and they all were trained on text, kind of they were just based on what is written down. And what has been written down in a culture, if there's anything verbal that would have not been captured in that. So there's inherent biases. So sometimes, in lots of cases, you will not know if a text, the author, just from the name alone, is it man or woman? How old were are they? How, what nationality are they? Kind of what is their cultural background? What is their lifestyle? Anything that would tell you about kind of the voice that has shaped a particular text. So all of these kind of the not knowing shapes those biases as well, that one then shapes the output.
Great. Okay, our time's almost coming to the end. So we've got sort of a classic end question. What would your three tips be for somebody who's just getting into it? Because most people aren't anything like as far into it as you are. So what three tips would you give them?
And that is a fascinating thing that I'm only realizing that myself, that most people are still further behind. And it's just kind of try, fail, learn, experiment. I mean, this is all in the same vein, but press a button, see what happens. Type something in, see what's coming out. Don't just take it as going, oh my God, this is the best thing. There's a lot about our own fears. We don't like change. When someone tells us something in an authoritative voice, we just think, oh my God, they must be right. What if they aren't? And it's not just about kind of the answer it gives you, but also find the how can you make it work for you? And if you've tried it once and you go, oh, I don't want it to tell me where I go on holiday and plan my whole journey for me. I want to do that myself. And it's like, okay, there may be steps, how you can make that work. You may use Perplexity to find your hotel instead of Googling something, by where you can explain more about what you're after rather than using different comparison engines and using different filters. You use more natural text to do that. Maybe instead of reading a guidebook, you just have a synopsis that an AI generated for you to just see, hey, where are the things and finding there's still things on how you can make it work. It doesn't need to give you a pre-packaged answer. So it's kind of it's only two things, like experiment, but then figure out how does it work for you? Where does it fit into your life? Don't just kind of adopt, but make it shape it to fit into your life.
That's brilliant. And since you gave two, I will add one, which actually comes from what you've just been saying, which is don't try just one platform, try several, because they behave differently and they will, some will fit you better than others.
Absolutely. And I mean, I'm not paying for any of them. I don't have a paid subscription at the moment just because I'm still playing around with all of them, so it doesn't need to cost you anything at this point.
Brilliant. Ramona, thank you so much for your time. I think people are going to find that really useful.
Thank you very much for having me. This was fun.